Let's call the meeting to order. The clerk will note the roll. Because this meeting has kind of called kind of quickly with the minutes of the last meeting will be in the next meeting. We are waiting for some additional information that's before us. We need to wait just a few minutes for Bill Marks to come down. As we are proceeding this, we are attempting our best to get good numbers to have in the budget resolution. I have shared the potential numbers with Representative Holberg, and here comes Bill Marks so we can proceed. And it may be, there were some changes made just within the hour, some additional things. So,
Mr. Chair, while we're waiting, actually, I have a little discussion.
I want to know.
Oh, yeah.
I talked with Representative Holbrook as well. One of the numbers we need to get verified with the Department of Finance and others on it, and so Bill wants to do that before we make the formal changes. So if you can just bear with us on that, so we can probably do it right.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion actually that since we have the budget resolution before us, is that correct?
We have the budget. We will have the budget resolution as it's amendable before us. Yeah.
Right. Okay. I have a couple questions, and
sure.
Then I'd like to make a motion, which I not sure be successful, but I just wanted to make it for my own comfort.
Sure.
We did the health finance bill, and I wasn't able in that meeting. They didn't know the effect on the tails. This committee, of all committees, is aware that we're facing a $935 million shortfall this line, and then a $2 billion sum in the next one. And I'm, for one, am very concerned that we're taking away all our soft landing tools for next session. And I don't know if you're going to be retiring, Mr. Holberg, or not, but those of us who managed to survive the gauntlet of our various political business and get back here, I think are going to face a very grave situation. I don't see that a tax increase is going to happen, given either Governor Plenty or Governor Malmo. That was my supposition, and perhaps
those are his suppositions.
And perhaps you'll conjure up five more votes in the election coming up, and perhaps you won't. But I don't know how next session is going to work, and that the $2 billion doesn't include anything for education, which is something near dear to my heart. And I'm concerned at the tack we've taken. And I didn't know as much about this last time because it was put upon us kind of quick, but I'm concerned that two-thirds of the deficit we're making up in this biennium on reserves, and then allowing the committees to take even more money out of one-time funds to have no dent on the long-term thing. I'm telling you this to this committee. I don't see the media here. I'm just telling you all as my colleagues in a committee that's not political, but I'm concerned about that. And can you tell me, for one, would you mind commenting on how you see the $2 billion burden being handled next year, given what we're doing now? Could you mind?
Representative Aver, let me try to answer it this way. If I had a crystal ball, exactly what the economy would be next year, I'd I wouldn't be sitting in my position. I'd be being a very rich person. But I am concerned about the economy and the future of the economy. And I'm going to take some advice, and hopefully I'm taking this advice within the limits that we are able to do in the state government, and listening to people a lot smarter than I am. And that's some of the economists that sit around the table at Council of Economic Advisors. And Representative Solberg participates, or we don't participate, we listen, don't we? But I think they're concerned about that as well. They have given us some directions. First, short-term solving of the budget problem. We need to balance the budget problem. But they've also indicated that they're very concerned about jobs in the state of Minnesota. The lack of availability of jobs. I think the latest statistic I heard is that I don't know if it's the metropolitan area or if it's just Minneapolis, within the trades, the electricians, the plumbers, and that type of thing, the unemployment rate is about 30% right now. And economists have told us that when the housing collapsed, that there were jobs available in the commercial industrial market for buildings. And that building boom is kind of over. So they've indicated to us that it's very, very necessary that we try our best to get a bonding bill passed fast that will concentrate on jobs this summer, not wait, and we're attempting to do that very quickly. They've also told us that we have to have a long-term perspective of the economy. And one of the things that they have advised us is to attempt our best to invest in research and development. And they point to research and development with University of Minnesota as a research facilities, and they point to the research that has produced good jobs in the state of Minnesota, particularly companies like Medtronic, and the taconite industry is a result of state investment in research. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be concerned about the next biennium as well. And we're attempting our best to indicate that to these committees that if they have extra resources, they go to the bottom line. And we're verifying right now, and I've shared this with Representative Holbrook, we're going to try to put some more money in the reserve in the amendment today. I think that's prudent to do. Now, are we going to put $2 billion in reserve? No. But we're going to try our best as we go through this legislative process to be prudent, to make sure that the expenditures are the right type of expenditures, and realizing that people hurt, and we need to not have say we're going to kick everybody out, and we wouldn't want to do that either. But we're going to try our best to manage with both a short-term and a long-term process in this particular budget, so we can kind of put the state in some stability. Now, that's a long-winded answer to your question, and I chose that so that Bill Marks can get back here.
Mr. Chair, and I'd like to make actually two motions, and I haven't even talked to anybody about this except my own head. And so if there's people come, and I see I can count already, but if I predict how they'll turn, but I wanted to at least make the point, and I hope you treat them with the respect that, better than the respect that the great Davids will give it the respect it deserves. I hope it does better than that, but I hope you'll see them as thoughtful.
There will be.
And I think we should protect the cash flow account, because if we, that gives a little leverage, at least to keep something that has to stay there. And it's truly a cushion against something when we take it out of, when we empty that. So what would the proper motion, Mr. Chair, be to restore the cash flow account and take it out of the budget reserve? That would be my first motion. And is that simply enough to say that?
Well, I suppose it would be then, maybe Consul can help me or help you on that, so that we have a proper motion before us. Ms. Novak?
Mr. Chair and Representative Abler, I believe your motion is to, well, I don't know exactly the numbers you're thinking of.
$350 million was in the budget reserve to start with. I mean, in the cash flow account, so to restore that and then to take that balance off the budget reserve.
So the motion to the budget resolution would be on line 1.7, reduce the budget reserve by $350 million, and on line 1.8, increase the cash flow account by $350 million.
That should be in my motion. I don't need to debate it long, but that was my motion.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I'll just speak against
the motion. Just a minute. Would you repeat the motion, please? I'm sorry, I was talking, but I didn't hear the motion.
Mr. Chair and members, the motion is on line 1.7, reduce the $380 million in the budget reserve to $30 million, and on line 1.8, increase the zero to $350 million.
Okay, you heard the motion. Madam Speaker.
Mr. Chair, I just want to speak against Representative Abler's motion, and out of respect for what he said, I mean, I don't think we have to debate it long, but after meeting with the governor yesterday, the governor did express concern that our budget reserve number was slightly below his, and I think actually we're going to have available to us a number that will put us above the governor's budget reserve number, and I think that's probably an important place. The cash flow account can be handled different ways by the Department of Finance, and I think they are fully capable of making the decisions to handle the cash flow of the state without having any significant impact on the state. And so I speak against Representative Abler's motion here today, and out of listening to what the governor had to say to us yesterday, I think it's important to actually move that reserve number a little further up.
And members, within the state law, you know, the Department of Finance is able to borrow from other funds for cash flow as well. And they even had the ability within the transportation fund, if that was down, to go into the general fund to have a temporary cash flow. Representative Earhart.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think you just said it. We've used the budget reserve for cash flow accounts in the past, if I remember correctly.
Okay, any other discussion on the motion? If not, Representative Abler renews his motion. Everyone understand the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
And the motion does not prevail. Representative Abler.
I have a second one, and I appreciate the short debate, and this is just to help us understand what we're doing. And I just a comment about the budget, the cash flow account. That if the governor unallots, the cash flow account stays intact. And so we keep $350 million next year hedging against the very scary next year. And so I knew how that would turn out, but I appreciate the discussion. My second motion would be, if we're going to leave all these numbers where they are, at least we should make the committees, funding committees, be honest and not take money out of their short-term one-time accounts. And so I would, not sure the correct motion, but it would be that we would add into our budget resolution a line saying all their funds remain at their current fund balance. And so the Health to Access Fund, we're going to adjust that on TANF fund, but we're not adjusting the special revenue accounts. There's a work comp fund. There's various funds that I think that are at risk of being dipped into. And so that'd be my second motion. I presume the vote will be similar, but I wanted to help people understand that here I am cautioning us against next year, and you all get to decide that, but I wanted at least be a voice for that, and hopefully take it as respectfully.
Well, Representative Abler, I take every motion as respect. You don't have to say it, but I don't know if your motion is workable right now. I mean, we have to have numbers in it.
Is that right?
I'm trying to see if, with respect to even what your motion says, and maybe council can help at least get a motion drafted that works.
Mr. Chair and Representative Abler and members, perhaps the motion would be on the budget resolution on page 2 after line 20, inserting a sentence that reads, all other funds must remain at the level of the February forecast.
That'd be fine, Sal, Mr. Chair.
Okay. We have a motion before us. Does everybody understand the motion? I would speak against that particular motion. I don't know exactly what the implications are, but I understand what you're trying to do and respect your ability to do
that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any other discussion on it? If not, then those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
And the motion does not prevail.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, any other discussion of those? Well, we do have the motion before us, and the chair would move that the amendment, is it the A2 amendment? The A2 amendment be amended for the budget resolution that was passed previously under Rule 4.03. And I have had some conversations with the Republican lead on this. What we are doing is, do you have the seat? People have the seat. The changes are listed. The agricultural is an increase of $3 million. That's a result of the governor's concern and funding for the TB initiative in northwestern Minnesota. I think it's extremely important for that. That's his request. The $1.9 million for public health deals with some difficulties in that particular division. The taxes are negative 27.9, and then the budget reserve is increased by $23 million, and Representative Abler, you'd be happy with that. That restores the budget reserve to the same level then as the governor. And as we look at other, if there are other monies that come in, they will drop to the bottom line, and at some future time, we might even put those in the budget reserve. Our goal is the same goal that you have, is to increase that budget reserve if at all possible. Oh, yes, and then one additional one. Down below the TANF is increased by 5.754. Additional money is coming out of the TANF. I would move the amendment. I think it's a two amendments. Any other discussion on the amendment? Representative Paulson?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And so it sounds like you're following some of the governor's recommendations in some of these categories, but I'm wondering if the governor, and maybe the speaker has a comment on this, had any comment on the additional $28 million as tax increases potentially that that's going to be, or, I mean, if that is that something the governor recommended? I mean, I know that you just made a statement, Mr. Chair, about the importance of research and development, and I know we had a discussion in the tax committee about some of the proposals to eliminate the R&D tax credit, for instance, and I just wonder if that's going to be still part of the mix or part of the plan for leadership going forward, because I think that would be a mistake if it is.
Well, let me answer. First of all, the tax committee is going to make those decisions in an open committee meeting. They have a target, so we respect that committee process. Madam Speaker, did you want to comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. President Paulson, you made a very good observation that most of these changes today are a reflection of our conversation with the governor yesterday. Bovine TB, the increase in the budget reserve, he expressed concern that our number was slightly below his. And I, for one, am not supportive of the elimination of the research and development tax credit. I think that Representative Lentesky has been very clear that that bill is her own proposal, not a caucus position, and has laid out a number of options here. I think that you will likely see us return to a tax fairness point of view on whatever pieces are in this budget balancing bill from the tax article, as well as any future tax bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the speaker, too. I'm just curious, did the governor have any concerns about the tax number? I mean, just in terms of if that's realistic, if we're going to be potentially hurting worse the jobs environment, and for that matter, if you had any discussion about the state's bond rating, because I know we've had long discussions for many, many years here at this committee, Mr. Chairman, as well as just broadly as the legislature about, you know, the size of the reserves, the cash flow account, and how what the bond ratings are going to be reflected from the East Coast.
Mr. Chair, Madam Speaker.
Representative Paulson, thank you for that question. I think it's interesting to note that the governor did not mention anything about the bond rating of the state or any concern with that. I do think that his... I think he expressed some concern about the Representative Lincesti's package altogether, but when pointed out that that's not necessarily part of our budget balancing piece here, he did not seem to express any concern. So I think that it was a productive meeting yesterday. It was mostly focused on bovine TB and healthcare, so healthcare in our deer and cattle and healthcare for humans. So that's what we spent most of our time on yesterday.
We're making progress. Representative Hobel, did you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When I actually talked to you sitting on Hennepin Avenue last night, intervention from the vision place, so I'm not sure that we had an equality conversation there, but it's my recollection that part, which, by the way, I counted three buses go by with less than five people in them, but that's another
story. But those five people are going to work.
we'll see. But you had stated that the increase in the housing and public health was to restore the proposed cut to the positive alternatives program. Is that something that's set in stone, that those of us that like that program?
Representative Herbert, I think your answer is correct.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other discussion? Yes. Representative Paul.
Mr. Chair, once these numbers are approved with the amendments, and you go to the Finance Committee, and you put together the finance bill or the budget resolution bill, is an amendment in order that would alter any one of these numbers? If an amendment's offered that raises fees, for instance, in a category, and would alter a number, is that amendment in order? I'm thinking of 4.03B, so I'd like to know if those amendments will be in order.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part.
I would like to know if an amendment would be in order in the Finance Committee on any one of these division reports that alters these numbers, whether it alters it in a positive way or a negative way. Is that amendment in order?
I may have to have some help with the finance chair as well. I think it is an order within the finance if it doesn't change the limit that we have. In other words, if they raise some money and spend money within that particular target, from my perspective, it's an order. Now, the instructions, I think, for the chair of finance are somewhat different than that, and maybe he wants to comment.
Mr. Chair, that's not exactly my question. My question is a simple one. If an amendment is offered that alters this number and it does not balance, it just alters it, is that amendment in order? If it lowers, for instance, a negative number by $1 million, is that amendment in order?
If they have additional cuts to this number, yes, I think that would...
And, Mr. Chair, then it would have to be within the confines of that report. It would have to be in the confines of that budget number. It can't be taken from any other account and moved in or out.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, yeah. I just want clarification, because I think when we move to finance, it will be interesting to see the amendments.
You cannot take from Health and Human Service and spend in state government finance. That's clear.
All right.
Just
for clarification.
Yeah. That's been a consistent rule for many, many years. Yeah. Okay. Any other discussion? If not, then the chair would renew his motion of the A2 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed?
No.
And carried. Members, thank you very much. We ran over a little bit, but Madam Speaker, have a short term.
Maybe you'll want a long term to get the second.